Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Albertson.
And today we are talking about Seize the Day, Season 8, Episode 2. So fun, this episode. And this is a taggy. So it's just a Tim and Maggie today. And we have so much fun. This one is directed by David Crabtree, and the writers are Steve Franks and Todd Harthan. So much fun. Please enjoy. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Maggie.
How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing better. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm looking at my dear friend, Maggie. And your hair looks amazing. You look fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's my baseball hat because my hair.
You look great, too. And
a little double
merch. You know what? I'm also wearing merch.
Nice.
I know. I love it.
Merchy cool. So this is, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know this correctly. This is our first taggy of the new year, right?
Yeah, this is our first taggy of season 8 and also of the new year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got to say, I think I can speak for you that 2025 has not started off great for a lot of people.
Yeah, no.
Certainly in LA with the fires and what's going on to a lot of our friends. But yeah. And in general, it's just been, let's be honest, it's just started out a bit shit.
It's a bit rocky start, I'm not going to lie.
We are going to make it. We've talked about this quite a bit over the this year. You and I are going to, we are making this a better year for us and hopefully as many people as we can possibly. But you and I are, we're off to a great, we're turning this ship around.
Let's turn the ship around, Tim. We got to turn the ship around. Let's turn it around. And we're going to turn it around with a very funny and very heavy Lassie episode.
Oh, shucks. You noticed.
It's great. It's so funny. You're so funny in it. You are so funny in it. The stuff with Christy, the stuff is so, it's so good. Anyway, so let's dive in, Tim. What do you think?
You ready to help me podcast the shit out of this special episode of the first episode of season 8 of Psych?
The second episode of season 8 of Psych. But
this is why I need you, because you know things that I don't.
All right. Season 8, episode 2, Seize the Day, written by Todd Harthan, directed by David Crabtree. This aired almost 11 years ago, exactly January 15, 2014. All right. Let's go.
What year?
2014.
I cannot handle this.
I know. So.
Before you started hopping to the synopsis.
Yeah.
We said this yesterday when we were talking with Steve, which I'm sure y'all listened to, because it was an amazing start of the Psychologist in.
Yeah.
This podcast. But let's, elephant in the room. This is 8 was a weird season because, first of all, Maggie's not in it a lot because she was off being a TV star on other shows. And B, I don't know if I'd start with A, but, and number two, that's the first and foremost, most important thing, because I was missing my partner for most of the show.
Yeah.
Season. And then we knew the show was coming to an end. So we were all smelling the barn, as it were. Not quite senioritis, but it was a really chock full emotional season because we knew this was coming to an end. This greatest in our life. And it was sad and emotional.
Yeah.
But intel and beautiful.
Yeah. And it was nice that we knew that. A lot of times shows get canceled and they'd have no warning. So you don't get to have the time to, you know, spend with each other, say goodbye, relive all those fun things. So we got very lucky that we kind of knew what our wrap date was going to be. And we got to cherish every second of it, at least when we were there, which was hard. It was hard not being there, but and so some of this, even though this episode I like our taggy stuff. This episode starts with Harris Trout, who we know Anthony Michael Hall is fantastic. As the interim chief, Lassiter has been demoted to beat cop. And Juliet is now the interim head detective. Yes, girl power.
Hey. Trout
doesn't want to work with Sean and Gus. So the two of them show up to a crime scene uninvited, hoping to prove themselves worthy to Trout. The SBPD of station.
Go ahead. I was just going to interject something that Anthony does. I thought that was kind of brilliant.
He is so funny. Like,
I wish I had still had a copy of the script, because I'm curious of how much of these runners that Anthony did was him, was his improv. And
I think a lot of this for Anthony was written because I just think we wrote the character so ridiculous, but he plays the character so real. Oh, that's so cute.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay. The SBPD have stationed themselves outside a house they know their purpose hiding in. Trout is devising their plan to attack, a plan of attack with Juliet. Sean's first move is to get past the police barricade with the help of a shy onlooker holding flowers for his wife. The shy man is trying to get to his house.
It's the first time we really see Lasher, not the first time, but this season where we see Lasher in his blues. Like he's in his Because basically I'm just a 7-year-old kid playing cops and robbers.
But it's also like you do look like a little boy almost. It just feels so different not seeing you in a suit, and it feels like it's very, very sweet, actually. The shy man is trying to get to his house, but he can't get to it because the barricade is right in the way. When he approaches the barricade,
something brilliant Anthony does. So when he says we're going in 2x2 formations,
yeah,
he holds up each hand and he holds up 4 fingers. Was that for that?
Because he's ridiculous.
2x2. It was just like genius, funny, dumb.
He's so dumb. It's so funny. He is so funny. They really cracked me up in this episode. So did you.
We have a, very important season first.
What is? What?
O'Hara's in a sapphire bottle blue blouse, top, shirt. So it's our first drink up of the season.
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, we did do a drink up in the Steve episode yesterday. We did one because we were like, this deserved a drink up for sure.
Didn't listen or who were listening out of order. There's your first
drink. Get your drink on. That's what Tim is saying. When he approaches the barricade, Trout has him arrested for disrupting a police investigation.
Sorry to interrupt. This is important. We have a very, very new first. We have a new nickname for a new Gus nickname.
What is it?
This is my partner trending on Twitter.
Oh, that's right.
Which Dulay adds, hashtag what would Gus do?
Well, remember this time in our lives, like at this point, I think only Facebook and like Twitter had only been around for like a year or two. Like it was still pretty new. And what was so fun is that we had like such a presence on Twitter. So it became like a, I mean, it's so different now, right? But like we had, gosh, that was so crazy. I remember them being at one of the Comic Cons. They like one of the publicists from USA was like, "Hey, we need to get you set up on Twitter." And I was like, "What's that?"
Our dear Terry Goldman, right?
It wasn't Terry, but it was like one of them. Yes, that was like everybody's got to get on Twitter because that's where everybody is right now, and they were right. Trending on Twitter, so funny. Okay, so this moment is so great. Lassiter sees the perp from his vantage point. Knowing he needs to prove himself to Trout in order to be reinstated as head detective, Lassiter decides to take down the perp himself. He does so in
favorite shots.
Stunning fashion.
Stunning. Well, it's my full-on Robert Patrick T2.
Really cool.
And then Crabtree gave me that great sort of flying shot, leaping in the air shot.
That leaping shot to me is so, I believe, that flying shot, I feel is like one of the coolest, like it was getting real in season 8, like some of the stuff that we were doing, especially after just doing Lock Stock, like looking at some of the stunt stuff, but it is really cool. And it really looked like you.
Oh, it was me. I don't know how, I can't remember exactly how we did this crazy shot, but I'm sure it was like lying on top of something.
Oh, okay. I see. Right.
The camera was down underneath me, sort of my face with my, it was very, the arm motion was very, Seamus McTiernan-esque.
Yeah, it is actually.
Hoity, 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 hoity.
The Trout decides not to mention Lassiter at the press conference a couple days after all this goes down, which the look on your face, like
the no names, no faces. And this is when we first hear that O'Hara is now interim head detective, right?
Yeah.
I love your face, you are very unhappy with how your friend is being treated.
I know. All of it feels weird. The faces I make in this episode are all like, there's so many, like, this doesn't feel right. I have to do this, but it doesn't feel right. The whisper. Well, hold on. So somebody tries to shoot at Trout at this press conference where he does not name Lassiter and his heroic efforts.
That was an attempted murder.
Grr. That one had grr. Lassiter pushes Trout out of harm's way. The gunman no longer has a shot, so he takes off. Back at the SPVD, Julia delivers the briefing on the shooting at the press conference, but she does it whispering because she doesn't want Lassiter to hear because he's all sad.
Jumping in. Ding, 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 ding. Another series first. O'Hara's first briefing.
Is it?
It's your first briefing because you're now, it's the first time you're head detective.
I know. For some reason, I thought I gave a briefing once before, but maybe not. This is it's really funny because I look over, you're so sad. And I'm like, okay, can you all just be quiet? Can we keep this quiet? So, and then Sean notices you at the desk. And even though you saved Trout's life, Trout is not giving you any credit for it. Sean, acting like a life coach, encourages Lassiter to seize this opportunity to prove himself.
And this is the season first of, it's the very first I'm proud of you from Sean.
I'm proud of you, he says.
I'm proud of you.
Yes. There are a lot of firsts because as Steve was saying, we shot this first and then it aired second. So all of the questions in Lockstock, even though it aired first, we don't know why you're in Blues. We don't know we don't address half the thing. It's because this is the first one we shot. Anyway, so Lassiter eventually agrees to.
I love how Sean says that you're guilty Baggins about stealing my gig.
Guilty Baggins. Now, this is what I have to say about Baggins.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to give a personal. I'm giving a personal story away, but the Todd Harthan, still to this day, he loves throwing the word Baggins onto all kinds of things. Are you happy, Baggins, today?
I didn't know.
It'll be like Maggie Baggins. Like, how are you? Like, he's a very, it's all about the Baggins. And so to get that into the script is a very, very funny and kind of inside thing.
So this is how deep we're going, because as close as we are, I never knew this.
Yeah. Baggins? He's never said Baggins?
You've obviously spent more time with Todd than I have, so.
Oh my God, I could probably just like look, I could probably type in the word Baggins into my text right now and find multiple Baggins from Todd. yep, I've got him.
Well, there's a, as Sean's pep talk, the thing that really gets a lot, who last was resisting his life coaching until he says, let the stern brush breathe. And that's what really pops in. Then I interject myself into your press conference.
It's like your power. It's like your superpower. Like somebody says the stern brush and you're like, what? You like wake up. He's in. All right. So Lassiter agrees. He's going to seize this moment. And he's going to make it his personal priority to find and arrest this shooter. So that night, Lassiter returns home to his wife, Marlo.
This speech of trying to inspire everyone and just myself and obviously speaking too loud for Trout's benefit.
You do so well. It's so funny.
My performance zone male Spanx. I love it. And you, O'Hara, gives just the slightest, most quick quizzical look down, which was, I found really hilarious.
Yeah. She's like, what's he saying? Okay. I'm happy you're back. But at the same time,
Let's check out the Spanx.
Which I gotta say
is an example of how a great actor stays in a scene even though you don't have a line in that moment.
Mm-mm.
But you're continuing to live in the scene and being alive.
We're alive. Okay, so we're home and
I'm just talking about a beat about that speech.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm talking about the going down in the hailstorm of bullets, and I add I say unto you, sorry, let me get my every fearless fiber of my being, I say this big speech, every fearless fiber of my being, I say unto you, the unto you, I added on stuff because I want it to be like Henry V's Christmas Day speech.
Oh, cool.
I added my own little Shakespearean flair.
That was a Tim ad. I love it. It's just so good. So
I get one clap, a solitary clap from O'Hara. So thank you for that. And then, yes, okay, last year's home. Now we go.
We're home. And this is one of my favorite, and I like one of my favorite moments, I think, on the series. Your excitement to tell Marlo this plan and her having this news that she has to tell you. You all are so cute. And so Marlo tells Lassiter that she is pregnant, but not before Lassiter is trying to tell this whole story for it. But like the pause and like you coming, it's just such a good scene.
The first time we hear that Lassiter's nickname for Marlo was Smoochie Pie.
Yes, Smoochie Pie. That's a funny one. Okay. The next day, Lassiter pulls over a white van, matches the description of the shooter's van, while looking at a ultrasound picture. During his approach, he sees a man pushing a baby in a stroller, and the news of Marlo's pregnancy starts to sink in. He's reminded.
I'm sitting in my cruiser and I'm looking at the picture of the ultrasound, and that's when I call in the van to the dispatcher, and let me put my notes here. So the dispatcher's character's name is the voice of Franny, who's played by Kimmy Robertson, who is she was the ditzy police secretary Lucy on Twin Peaks. So who was often on the radio.
Right. That's right.
Worked with her.
That's first, so cool.
She did an episode of a Secretary of Separation. She did
you told me.
Angel from Hell, didn't she?
Yeah. You know, every January I get so excited about resolutions. I'm ready to take on the world, and then, well, February happens. And March. And suddenly that new year, new me energy fades. But what if some resolutions could just happen automatically? That's exactly what Acorns does for your money. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, for your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorn lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. How great is that? Look, I've been there. I used to think investing felt overwhelming. But Acorns takes that stress away. It's simple, automatic, and honestly, it's kind of fun watching those little investments add up. Head to acorns.com/pineapple or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing on your future today. Paid, non-client endorsement, compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided, investing involves risk, Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/pineapple.
Flex your business with an American Express Business Gold Card. You'll earn 4 times membership rewards points on your top 2 eligible spending categories, like transit and electronics, each month, on up to $150,000 in combined purchases per year. Plus, you can now earn 3 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Amex Business Gold, built for business by American Express.
She was in one, was she in 1 episode of Angel from Hell? Or 2 episodes of Angel from Hell? Anyway, she's great. And also, that was a psych. Didn't she do a second episode of Psych?
I don't know if she did or not. She should have.
Oh, okay.
This dialogue, when you rewatch the show, because it's a rewatch podcast.
She's so great. Listen
very carefully to this interaction between Franny's lines and Lassiter's lines, and how upset she is because I treat her like a voice, not a person. I just thought this. I mean, this was some, for an off camera scene. This was some really, really funny. This was some comedy gold stuff.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
So I pull up at the van. I see the dad walking the stroller, and suddenly Lassiter loses his mojo.
Yeah.
Run back, approach the van slightly, quickly retreat, get back in the car, call for backup, and who comes within 6 seconds? My savior O'Hara comes screeching in to save the day and save her partner.
Yeah, because like she can't have that, but also. There's a mother in this van. It's not their shooter. So there's a
King Kent. You're like, I know him. It's King Kent from Wreck-It Ralph. My really, is he dangerous?
Wreck-It Ralph. Yes. I was like, how do I know that? By the way, how do I know about Wreck-It Ralph? Like, I didn't know. Huh?
It's your nephews.
Mm-hmm.
When they're not playing Wii.
Like, exactly.
Christmas.
Exactly.
You're watching and I made movies with him.
So, you know, and so Lasseter knows this, Lasseter knows that if he finds and arrests the shooter, he'll get his job back. But he also knows he can't take the shooter down without any help. So he enlists the help of Sean and Gus. This is crazy. He tells them.
Before we let the van go, when you check in on Lasseter, you really see like he is not
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I love this O'Hara checking on a partner. Are you okay?
Yeah, of course. She knows something's off. Anyway, so Lasseter asks for help, and Sean and Gus are really shocked to hear that he's no longer physically capable of pursuing this case on his own. He doesn't reveal why or that Marlo's pregnant. So it's a mystery to Sean and Gus. So Lasseter gets straight to business, and he hands over this large case file containing death threats that Trout has received over the years. Sean notices a few threatening letters in particular. The letters point them to a woman who just happens to be Trout's mother. This is so crazy. They bring Trout's mother into the station for questioning. He hates his mother. This scene is so funny. So he takes this opportunity to humiliate her by interrogating her. Just then, Juliet tells Sean.
Are we at the 2400 Hotel? Motel yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Lasseter gets word of another shooting and that the gunman fled the scene. Juliet tells Sean and Gus that Lasseter got word of another shooting. Gunman fled the scene driving in a white van. Upon hearing this news, they realize it couldn't have been Trout's mom that took the shots at him, so she's dismissed. Sean, Gus, Juliet, and Lasseter go to question the shooting victim in the hospital. The victim, Vance McMillan, who managed to escape the shooting barely harmed, turns out to be a huge jerk. Sean points out that the only thing Vance and Trout have in common is that they're both giant a-holes. Sean thinks that the shooter is killing all of the a-holes of Santa Barbara, but no one takes that theory seriously. One of my favorite beats. Okay, later after Vance is released from the hospital, Trout orders Lasseter to drop Vance's personal belongings at his place of business, McMillan Industries. While there, Lasseter notices a white van parked out front. He gets scared, and he calls for Sean and Gus's help. But this was, I actually was scared because you were actually scared. You were like legit, like, I was like, oh my God. You were like, back up immediately. And I was like, oh my God, he's really scared. When they arrive, Sean acts like Lasseter's life coach again by encouraging him to seize the day and catch the perp.
And getting to play Lasseter, like these sides of Lasseter, which we've never seen before, was so fun to suddenly let the swagger down and have him, like when I'm shot at and I'm crumbling in front of the van, which was just deliciously fun to play.
And also, like, so vulnerable. Like, the thing about Lasseter is he is this mushy little boy on the inside. And, like, you always play. You've got that, like, so tapped in, like, who he is. Like, I can't imagine somebody else coming in and playing Lasseter and, like, this hard-shelled dude. And then creating this, like, whole mushy little boyness that is really what all that is about. And you always play it like, so like it, I find it so, it's so endearing and it's so sweet. And also it's just unexpected. Anyway,
that's a very sweet comment. I just totally ignored, but thank you, my friend.
You didn't ignore it. Lasseter can't muster the courage to seize the day and catch the perp. So just then they hear movement inside the building. Sean and Gus go in to check it out. It is then that Sean thinks he realizes why Lasseter has been so feeble and afraid the past 24 hours. Armed with a series of clues, Sean believes Lasseter found out that he's dying. And because of that, he's physically incapable of solving the case on his own. Gus isn't so sure. Sean and Gus spot a dark figure creeping through the building. The dark figure notices them, fires a gun at them, and starts to run away. He makes it outside, but he can't get in the white van because Lasseter is standing right by it. So he takes off on foot. Sean, Gus, and Lasseter go back inside the building to see if Vance is okay. They find him dead in the office, presumably shot by the dark figure that just escaped. Back at the SBPD, Trout punishes Lasseter for letting the shooter get away. Juliet tells the group that they have traced the white van to a man named Tony Delphin and shows them a photo of a man wearing glasses. Juliet says they should head to the fish market where Tony works and that they should ask Lasseter to come along. She notices how down in the dumps he's been ever since he's been demoted. But it is then that Sean reluctantly relays his theory to Juliet that Lasseter may be dying. Juliet doesn't believe this news at first, but after overhearing one of his phone conversations and connecting a series of incidents, she too realizes the old partner's days might indeed be numbered. This is too much. It's too much.
Something it might be too personal to say, but as I'm on the phone call to Marlo, and I'm saying, I've got 6-8 weeks, I'm saying, don't cry, bunny face. I threw Bunnyface in there because that's my nickname for Allison.
Oh my God, your nickname for Allison is Bunnyface?
So it's So Jensen calls her Bunny. I always call her Bunnyface, and so that's a little shout out to Allison.
Oh my God, I love this, and I'm so gonna call her Bunny next time I see you. Oh my God, next time I see her, that is hilarious and adorable. All right. So Sean, Gus, and Juliet now arrive at the fish market. They're looking for information from Tony's coworkers. It's revealed he hasn't been seen in days. Sean is talking to another coworker. He spots a clue. The clue leads them to a vat filled with fish guts. Floating on top is a pair of glasses, matched the pair Tony was wearing in the photo Juliet showed them. They pull Tony out of the vat. He is dead, which means he was
murdered.
Yep. And the shooter is still out there. So still at the fish market, Juliet and Lassiter are confused as to how the two victims and Trout are related. Tony has been dead for a few days, so whoever the killer is must have stolen his van and used it to drive around killing people. Sean focuses his attention on the logo of the fish market on the wall. Through a series of Sean visions and flashbacks, things start to click. The shy man from the beginning was wearing a jacket that had the same logo. Sean believes the shy man is the killer and tells everybody that he knows where to find him. Sean, Gus, this guy, I knew, even though I knew the episode, I knew that guy in the very beginning was something. Anyway, Sean, Gus, Juliet, Lassiter return to the same neighborhood they were in at the start of the episode. The four of them are interviewing his wife. Tells him his name is Patrick Abuchon. His wife, Marie, explains that she threw him out of the house a few days ago because he missed their anniversary dinner. What a jerk. As she tells them more about her husband, the link between Patrick Trout, Tony, and Vance comes to light. The victims are the reasons why Patrick lost his job and why his wife is leaving him. Lassiter's eye catches a glimpse of someone suspicious in the house across the street, the same house that the SBPD was stationed outside at the beginning of the episode. Lassiter goes to take a closer look. Sean then sees what Lassiter is doing, and Juliet and crew rush over to him. So Lassiter has now slipped into the house where Patrick is, and he's trying his best to fight his fear of death. He has a gun trained on Patrick, but he trips on the rug and he absolutely accidentally drops it.
Again, so on Lassiter.
So on Lassiter.
This is probably one of my favorite
mess
of the series. This
whole it's really cool. It's so good. So hold on. So Patrick turns around. Lassiter sees Patrick has a gun too. Lassiter, now unarmed, tries to level with Patrick by telling him the baby is on the way. He has a baby on the way and that he wishes to end this peacefully and walk away unharmed. While all this is happening, Sean, Gus, and Juliet overhear Lassiter tell Patrick that he's going to have a baby. And Sean realizes that his theory about him dying is just not true. So Patrick doesn't respond to Lassiter's level-headed pleas. Lassiter realizes he's not going to let the bad guys rule his life.
The gift that Harthen gave me of getting to do lines from Tombstone and the whole, I've got a Doc Holliday Say When t-shirt, which I was going to wear today, but then I opted for a psychologist Sternbush today.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
And the fact that I got to say the line, I'm your Huckleberry, on camera is just a gift that I need to send Harthen and a muffin basket for.
This is such a Lassiter moment that is really deserved in season 8. I feel like all of this, and then to have you snap back in and then you like do this thing where you, I mean, or your stunt double does, because no one would let you do that, especially me. And you get him. It's so freaking cool. I love this moment for you. You're so good in it. And also just that you got to have it because it's so deserved. And also what an episode for you finding out that, you know, you have a baby on the way.
And I love that when you guys rush into him to back me up, and O'Hara says, congratulations to the baby. I love that you, and this makes all the sense in the world, that you, O'Hara is the first person that he actually says, I'm going to be a papa to.
Yeah.
So yeah. Of course, he saves that news for his bestie.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I got to give a shout out. So the I'm going to be a papa was not scripted.
Really?
Yeah, that was a
ad-lib.
Or my friend Marco Sanchez, who you met, Marco. So when Marco learned that Mona, his dear wife, who you just met at the Hump Honor show, was pregnant, he came home to some friends and he walked in and said, I'm going to be a papa. So it was not just even the line, it was even his line reading of, I'm going to be a papa.
Oh, I love that.
Marco and Mona.
Marco. So now we're back at the SBPD. We're also happy for you. Trout finally gives you the praise you deserve. And he hopes that it means that he's being reinstated as head detective. But unfortunately, that's not the case. He'll still be a cop, but that he found extra money in the budget for a driver. For a small bump in pay, Lassiter will be driving Trout to all of his work-related affairs. Although not the news he was hoping for, Lassiter is still happy he was able to overcome fear on the job. This Henry scene that we end on.
Henry, so he makes, Trout makes Lassiter turn in his ticket book and his pens. He goes, and the other pen, which he's got a pen in an ankle holster, which was just a really
good. Of course you do. You never know.
And then telling Marlo the bad news that he's fired. And they took my pen. Yes, both pens. But yeah, this scene with Henry was really a psych ignition.
It was. I thought about that.
Total preview of our porch scene in Psych 3. This is Gus.
Yeah.
Show you.
It's so special. I know we both have our little colds right now. This episode was so sweet and so deserved for Lassiter. Going into season 8, as we are getting into the wrap ups of like what our lives are going to be, we are sending Lassie off with a baby on the way. So far. I know, it's so sweet. And that's the episode. I love this beat with you and Corbin so much, though. And also that it ends on the joke of you giving him a ticket still at the end. Got to make that quota.
Okay, my favorite beat of this episode is, and I've said this before, but I'm going to repeat it again, the fact that they save the only person that Lassiter says he's going to be dad to is to O'Hara.
Yeah, of course it is.
Which is just a well-deserved and beautiful payoff for their friendship that I loved.
I love it so much, and I also feel like it makes so much sense. Like, I would have read the script. If I read the script and saw that you told Sean and Gus first or something, I would have called Todd.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, no. They would never do that, though. They know. We have a ton of fan questions, obviously. We can't do all of them. So I'm going to start with some easy ones. When Lassie does that front roll grab with the gun, was that a stunt double?
That was what they call a cowboy switch. So it started off as the stunt double. And then once we got my stunt double the wide shot.
Yeah.
Then I took his place and popped up in a frame with a half somersault.
Okay. So it's like half and half.
The cowboy switch. Cause what would happen cowboy like.
Switch? Yeah.
Because in the old westerns, the stunt person would jump off the horse or the roof, and then the lead actor would pop up in a frame.
Yeah, that's
a cowboy switch.
That is where that comes from, and that is the coolest. I still love that. That's what we say.
And how fitting that it's our tombstone episode that we're doing cowboys.
Yeah, totally. I didn't think about that. Psych. Oh, that is so cute. Can you make up your own C's, S period E period I Z E, but do psych instead? Psych the day. That's so cute. Oh, I love that. What would psych be? What would we do? What would the P be?
Phone.
Okay, let's do S. What is S? This is like Mad Libs. S would be what?
Some.
Why?
This doesn't make sense now. I'm trying to tag it into a little bit into phone Maggie somehow.
Oh, okay. Phone soon. You're cool. What's an H?
Happening.
Yeah, but that's the end. Like, what's the H? It needs to be like your cool friend. Your cool we'll think of it. Oh my god, we have to think of it. What's a word? Homie. I love it. Like phone soon. your cool homie, or play some. No, I'm not going to get there, but that's a cute one. I like that we just did that. Okay. What is the funniest scene? It says, what do we think is the funniest scene from this episode? Oh man. I mean, I got the biggest kick out of the speech, the scene with you and the boys leading into the speech. I also love the, when the boys think you're dying. I also
just shed a tear.
Yeah. Why does Sean and Gus start doing bird noises when Lassie asks for help?
Because they are speaking in code.
Right. Right.
Which is a throwback to way back in season one. They used to, speaking in sort of a
TikTok.
Yeah, in a sub-Saharan African.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's their code. Sometimes they speak in bird.
They were saying that they were back then. God, I'm thinking so far back now.
Yeah.
They were pretending to be African doctors or someone. They were impersonating someone from sub-Saharan Africa.
Right.
So they're making up some clicking language.
Yeah. We love the clicking language. Oh, this is a good one. I like this. Tim, was it hard to play scared Lassie? It seems the opposite of his like tough demeanor. And it's true. Like I thought about that too, where I was like, you have not really had to play scared ever.
No, because you
a lot of vulnerability, but like he's always got it. He's always he knows what he's got to do always. But in these situations, that like panic, it was real, Tim. Like I felt, I was like, oh my God, he's really scared right now.
It wasn't hard. It was super fun.
Yeah.
I mean, again, a gift from Todd to get to play suddenly at the end of the season, get to play end of the series.
Yeah.
Play something so opposite of what I've been doing for the last 120 episodes was
really freaking special. Oh, psych, phone some of your cool homies. I love that. Phone some of your cool homies.
Done.
Psych, I love it. And then certain things they have like favorite acronym. I don't know.
Well, now we've just come up with psych because it means I'm going to call Maggie.
I know. I guess so. It would be psych. I would say, I mean, I like all of them. I like TMI and because, you know, like,
which part is this when we're on the phone?
Exactly. We're like, is this TMI? Let's see. And then I don't know. I feel like we've covered a lot of this already. Was the fish market really smelly? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. That was, I believe, down in Burnaby because it was where we shot the our Jaws episode. It's where we shot Sharky
Shark. Yeah. Do you know what I really remember? The scene that was like it felt like it was yesterday was the scene where we see the mother in the van and the Wreck-It Ralph. For some reason I was like, oh my God, that feels like it was literally 5 days ago.
I agree. That was also down in. I think it was down in Burnaby, just same time as the locations.
Well, Tim, that's C's. Anything else you want to say about C's?
I want to say something about, I just want to give a shout of gratitude to all amazing listeners for last season.
Yeah, right?
And how amazing the PsychPod Tour 24 was because of all of you.
We haven't had that moment, have we, yet, to like just say how special 24 was, you know, for us and for the podcast, but mostly because we got to see and we got to have all these fun events or, you know, in different cities, but we also got to meet and see repeatedly so many psychos.
And it was the first year we got to do an actual dedicated PsychCon.
And that too. And the first of many. Like it's going to be, like I don't know that it was really great. I know that the year was a bit of a roller coaster for a lot of people, but I gotta say I want to highlight the really beautiful stuff, and like that part of last year was when I think about it now, like I'm a little sad. I'm like, oh, we're not at Sketchfest right now. You know?
Yeah, like the fact that we did 10 cities in 12 months last year is just bonkersville.
Yeah. And we already have so many lined up this year too.
The PsychPod Tour 25 is already gearing up to be amazing. Not quite as many cities as last year, but some really great stuff is coming down the pike. And for whatever wobbly months there were last year, I want to thank you for helping me get through them. And I'm so grateful we had each other.
God, same. Last year was a real roller coaster. It was real high and real low, but we had so much fun.
And I just without you, which made me intensely sad. Cause like even when looking at the hotel, I'll picture this, looking at the hotel where I was staying, I was like, where am I going to drink? And I went, oh crap, she's not going to be this chill.
No, I know. That's why I was like, you like sent me a text at one point and you were like, well, we've got the con, which I don't think we knew right away I wasn't going to. And then you're like, we've got the con on this day or that day or whatever. And I was like, excuse me, where are you going without me? Because
Maggie and I shared a parents agent, and I immediately texted, I'm like, no, this will not abide.
Yeah.
Without Maggie again.
Yeah. But doesn't matter. We have so many lined up. I'm so excited. All right. Well, there's C's. There's our thank you to all of you. We can't thank you enough. I mean, I know we've done, but like, it's hard not to like, just acknowledge how, look, we love making this podcast and we love doing these shows and getting to see all of you. And the fact that you all just jumped right in with us from the very beginning and enjoyed this podcast with us. We also really want to like deliver on what you all want to. So like, you know, I know we said this before, but I think it's like worth, you know what, let's do this. We'll put something out on the social psychos. Well, let's do that. And we're going to do a little poll. We're going to like ask, you know, we want some feedback going into the last season and then the potential rewatch of the rewatch that we will be starting this again. We want to hear from you what you love. We want to hear what you need know more of. We want to hear, be honest.
Okay, we want to see more of what would you like to hear less of?
Yeah, more and less. And what are we missing anything? And is there anything like, because, you know, we're in it. We've got our format. We do our thing and like we love it. And, but we also want to keep it fresh and want to keep you all happy. So let us know.
I want to throw out a poll on the socials, Mara, if you could do this. Just simply.
Yeah.
Are there too many murders? I sometimes get comments about this and I'm not sure what, so I need a yes or a no if there's too many of that bit.
Maybe what we'll do is, offer a question where the people can respond. So this is what I would say, because I think what we can do is a sticker. Like if I ask a question sometimes like on Me Time and I say like, you know, tell me about this, or if I say like whatever, people can respond. We're not the most tech savvy over here. And so we'll put up a little thing. It'll be a question and then it'll be like, hey, as we go into the next season, what do you love about The Psychologist You're In? What do you want less of about The Psychologist You're In? And, you know, is there anything we're doing that's super annoying or anything that you love? And then we'll just see what they say, because the psychos are honest and I think they're very smart and they have great constructive criticism. So
I'm going to help us make 25 the best psychologists are in ever.
Absolutely. Let's do it. All right. Tim, this was so fun. You're so good in this episode. There's so many fun. This is just like, God, I have pictures from this episode too. I'm going to post. It was. This one hit me because this was the first one of season 8 and I wasn't in the one we did yesterday, Lock, Stock. So this was the first one where I was like, oh, this is when it began. This is when the changes began.
Yeah, the little bit we did have together was still gold.
Oh my God. Yeah. I loved it. I mean, we still Lassie and Jules. All right, psychos. We will see you next time. We have, really fun year planned and we love you all so much and cannot wait to see you at some of these cities.
I concur. And
I love it.
This is a great one, Maggie. I love you. I can't wait to see you again in person.
Yay! Soon. Soon and soon. All right. Bye! Bye, Tim!
Bye, Maggie!
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Psychologists Are In. Please follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologists Are In and our Patreon at patreon.com/psychologistsarein. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet for PsychCon, get them tickets. We're going to have so much fun. We love you, psychos, so much.